DW.
I live in the province of Cotabato. It is part of Mindanao region. So this is the southern part of the Philippines. 70% of its population are Christians and 30% Muslims, and some are indigenous peoples. They are still practicing their way of religion or beliefs. Our area is very rich in natural resources. That's why I can say that it is being targeted by many multinational corporations. They can do their plantations there, they can do their mining there, and so on and so forth.
Mindanao is sometimes called the mining capital of the Philippines because of the gold and nickel and copper reserves there. How have mining operations there affected indigenous people?
Yeah, Mindanao is known to be the land of promise because we have these three major islands in the Philippines, and Mindanao is the only island left with vast area of lands. And in our area, there is a plan of this mining company to explore the areas of the indigenous peoples, because the vast area of land are owned by the indigenous peoples. And it's often a sad fact that mining companies will get the permission from the government. And since they have this permission, often the military, as state forces, were there in the mining areas to secure the company. So those communities who will stand for their rights are often harassed, threatened, even killed. So many indigenous people's leaders, community leaders, who are really fighting that right over their land, has been killed. And massive operations driving away the indigenous people's communities. And of course, what would you expect after that? They have no means of living because they left their farms. And that's the only means of their daily livelihood.
And how can marginalized groups respond when their existence and their livelihoods are under threat?
Yeah, it's often the irony, because the state should be the one protecting these rights for its people, but then it's the civil society organization, it's the church institution who often assist these communities who are driven away from their lands. Yeah, for now, we maximize the land that are left for them to live. We introduced sustainable way of farming by planting different kinds of crops in just a very limited area they have, in order for them to have these products free of poisons and for them to sustain their daily living. One major success stories I can cite is that when these indigenous peoples brought the case in the Supreme Court, and then the mining company has to stop for a while their operation, it's pending until right now. But it takes a lot of efforts for us who are supporting them. Legal assistance is provided also, and of course, massive documentation and advocacy campaign over radios, newspapers. So somehow in the court, the case prospered, but then it's just a temporary restraining activity for the company. So it always takes a lot of effort to be really always organized and be vigilant to stand for their rights.
Do you ever feel that your life is in danger because of the work that you do? Do you ever fear for your safety?
I don't know exactly. Because right now in the Philippines, I think you have heard the issues of extrajudicial killings over those who are branded as drug addicts or drug dependents. I mean, it's not only them who are being targeted, but also people like us supporting this human rights, environmental rights, saying about peace. And also our island, our region in Mindanao, is under martial law. So speaking against those who are in authority, you do that and you will take your own risk for that. So, yes, we are not safe, but then we cannot close our eyes to these realities. And if we will not stand and help those communities of the indigenous peoples, of the Muslims, then who will do and who will respond to the call? DW.